You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Praise God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
Well, let's greet each other today. If you would, just turn, fist bump, shake hands, hug, whatever you're doing. Please be seated. I'd like to share a few announcements with you. We received this in the mail actually a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Orman, sir, I often listen to your sermons during my travels between residencies in Wellington and Okeechobee. The Mother's Day version was particularly special. Your views and delivery were to the point. I've heard that before. Please forward me a copy of the same, either hard copy or mail or email. Gives his email. Kind regards, Gary Kay. And he said, I grew up in Broward County. So we praise the Lord for hearing from one of our listeners through our radio broadcast. A few announcements. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we're having our new member classes. They're on the cover here. Class 101, Discovering Church Membership with me. And we go through our doctrines, our history, a lot of other things relating to that. And we break at 6 o'clock for dinner. We'll have pizza together. And then class 201 is Discovering Spiritual Maturity. That'll be with Andrew. 301 is Discovering Ministry. That'll be with Nick. So if you have not been to any of these, you'll come to the first one. We do them in segments, and we've started this back again, and so I want to encourage you to take part in that. And then this coming 4th of July on Monday, we're going to be putting the tent up, our event tent, on the property on Reborn Farm, and I want to invite you to come do 4th of July with us under the tent. We're going to be doing that from 11 to 2. We'll be providing the hot dogs, hamburgers. We've got chips and soft drinks. If you'll look on the cover, we've got a breakdown. If your last name begins with A to C, bring desserts, especially pecan pie. And then D through J, bottled water. K through N, fruit. And then O through Z, side dishes. So coleslaws and different things like that. So we'd love for you to be a part of that and bring those with you. And then Wednesday, July 6th at 5 p.m., we're going to be showing in the Senior Adult Center the video, the DVD, 10,000 Mules, produced by Denise D'Souza. This is the most factual, empirical documentation of what happened in the 2020 election. And I'm going to try to be getting our supervisor of elections here with us and talk to you about how you can help make sure our vote is true this fall and how you can be a part of it. You can actually earn some Christmas money by working in the election, and we'll be covering some of that. But this is just an absolute documentation. You'll be astounded at the information they've compiled and put together for that. And then also, the 4th of July, we'll be constructing the tent Friday at 5 o'clock, this coming Friday, putting the tent up there on the property. So if you'd like to help us with that, we would appreciate that as well, and come and be a part of that with us. And Then we also, let's see what else, deacon nominations. If you look inside your cell, we have a we're nominating deacons again, and the sermon today, we're going to be looking at that, qualifications of a deacon, and then a deacon nomination form, and we'll be interviewing the deacons and their spouses in the month of July, so I want to encourage you to get those in, pray about it, nominate someone, and turn that in for us, get that back into us. And we'll be glad to work on that with you. And then pray for our seniors this afternoon. They're going to one of the nursing homes for ministry there. And then the last terrific Thursday is this coming Thursday. And they're vigorous in their exercises. That's about all I can say. But I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. And you'll be blessed by it. And then our patriotic musicals next weekend, our founding father, patriotic musicals. So I want to encourage you to invite people and be a part of that with us as well as that comes up. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you so much for the privilege to serve you. We thank you specifically for the servants you call to serve our church. And Lord, we just want to ask you, please, Almighty God, to rest upon us today. And Father, we just want to praise you and thank you so much for the reversal of that tragedy of Roe versus Wade. Praise you, Lord. And thank you so much for doing that. And all of us, our prayers for the last 50 years, thank you for taking at least legally that off of our nation. And we do pray for dear moms all over the nation, no matter which side of the issue they're on, that you will convict them that that baby inside them is not their body. It's another body. It's another human being. And Lord, that they would preserve those lives and protect every one of them. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Andrew. Can you turn the front lights on for me over there? Thanks. A little bit extra. Last week, some of you may have thought I was having a stroke while I was reading, and I chose the wrong glasses. I had gotten my eyes, something in my eyes when I was fishing, and so I had to go to the glasses, and before the service, I met with Nick, and I showed him three pairs, and I said, which one looks the best? Well, that's not the good criteria for choosing glasses. And so I was struggling, you know, reading and with the lighting and everything. And that was my problem. At one point, I did say the glasses are killing me. But cognizantly, I was okay. Visually, not so well. We want to release our children for Children's Church at this time with Miss Julia. So if you can make your way out, side door. Excellent. Well, as you know, we've opened up for deacon nominations, and so today I'd like for us to look at two aspects of the diaconate or the deaconship. What is a deacon and why were they created? If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. One of the most famous Bible teachers in America today is John MacArthur with Grace to You, national radio broadcast for decades. And on this issue, he has taken the position that deacon is not a position in the church, that the term diakonos and the term deacon is just a reference to servants, servants in general, servants who are serving the church. And to counter that response, because for the vast majority of our denominations, even the Catholics as well as evangelical denominations, the deacon is a position in the church. In Acts chapter 6, or in Philippians 1, verse 1, Scripture says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers, which is one of the terms for pastors, and deacons. And so we see a delineation there in the salutation of Philippians, where there's a designation and a reference to deacons and deacons as servants. Now, the title deacon Diakonos is the Greek for it. And actually, that word deacon and the word baptism are two words we use in our English language, which are actually Greek words. King James in 1611, when they were translating the King James Bible, politically told his translators not to translate those two terms. Instead, they were transliterated. Each Greek letter was turned into an English letter. And so that's why we refer to deacons now instead of the translation would have been servants. And then baptism is immersion, dunking, plunging, dipping. And if that had been translated, we wouldn't be a Southern Baptist church. We'd be a Southern dipper church or a Southern plunger church or a Southern dunker church. And our churches all over the nation would be First Dunker of Stewart or First Plunger of wherever, you know, if it had been translated. And that word only means to immerse, to go under all the way for baptism. But that's another sermon. So here we see this particular term, deacon, diakonos. And it literally means the word dia is a preposition through, kanos is the dust, through the dust. And it brings up, every time I see this word, it brings up a picture that I've asked them to bring up for you of one of the characters from Snoopy. Who's this guy? Pigpen. And every time you saw him, I mean, if he's walking down the sidewalk, there's a cloud of dust following him, whatever activity he's doing. And this is actually, if you want to remember with a word picture, this is the idea of deacon. That the deacon is through the dust, it means they're busy, they're active. And it's the idea of if you were dusting a house and how you're wiping the dust off and dust is flying up. And one of the translations for this term is a waiting man or a waiter, some folks who would wait on tables. And so the position of deacon means servant, waiting man, minister, or messenger. And this is the terminology in reference to it. There's a lot of confusion about deacons where some view deacons in church life as power brokers or this or that or something else. And in actuality, they are the blessed, called servants of God to serve the church. And they're to be recognized as those who serve and those who are busy and diligent and work hard. And there is an aspect of overseership, and we'll look at that in a moment. But secondly, we see that deacons are recognized servants by a local congregation of believers. Now, if you got your Bible, look in Philippians or in Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in numbers, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews. These are the Greek Jews, the Jews of Greek descent, against the native Hebrews. That's the Jews. Because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." So here is the men of God, the pastors, apostles, preachers, and they're saying, our priority needs to be ministering the word of God. "But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." Now, I just want to footnote this. A lot of churches say there can only be 7 deacons, no more, no less. And that's not codified here. It's just that that's the number they needed at that time for the Greek Jews there in Jerusalem with what they're doing. And that is not a parameter of essentialism. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. So we see the byproduct of their ministry as they served and took care of people's needs. And then as the pastoral leaders were able to preach the Word of God and prepare the Word of God and pray and conduct ministry in that way. So deacons are recognized servants by a local congregation of believers. We see this in verse 1 and the reference there. We see it in 2a where it says, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God, but in order to serve tables. We see that. And then in verse 5, where again it says the statement was approved by the entire congregation as they chose them. Now, in this setting, as them being recognized deacons, we see next that deacons are to serve the congregation's needs to enable the pastors to serve and teach the Word of God. Now, there's an interesting insight into the first century church, that churches always will have differences. There will be squabbles. In fact, we've teased and said if you get two Southern Baptists in a room, you'll have three opinions. And a lot of times, and so there's a lot of times, a lot of our churches, unfortunately, are built from splits, where a church will split. Fortunately, this church, as a mother church, is responsible for a number of churches in the area that were birthed out of this church. First Baptist of Jensen Beach, which is now, was Rio Church, was started as a church plant from here, and now it's a family church. And then for North Stewart Baptist Church, which is now also a family church, was started out of this church. TC3 was started by the pastor that preceded me and started out of this church. First Baptist of Tropical Farms was started out of this church, and so forth and so on. There's several other congregations that have been founded. And then there's language churches in the area. Our church through the years has sponsored and we've housed a half a dozen different language churches, Korean, Filipino, Haitian, Spanish. And these churches, as they've grown, have gone out and become their own congregations. But we see here the idea of this service and the congregations enabling so that they can grow and so that they can reach people in a very powerful way. But it's interesting in this, that when you look at this church and the unity of it and the spirituality of it, the ones that were complaining were who? The Greek Jews, the Hellenistic Jews. So when they decided to address that issue, they went the extra mile. They didn't just appoint seven fine Hebrew boys to take care of this, young men. They actually, if you'll look, they're all Greek. All seven of them were Greek men, Greek Jews, that they appointed to take care of this. So they said, we're going to have these fine Greek Jewish boys take care of these Greek Jewish grandmothers and provide for their needs and come alongside of them. And we see an empathy there. We see a sensitivity there, a magnanimous spirit of the first church when they would deal with their issues and deal with their problems and when they would address them. So these deacons were to serve the congregation's needs to enable the pastors to be able to preach and teach the Word of God. And that's what it says in verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And I thank God for the 30 years Kim and I have been here that our deacons have been such great servants of God and met needs. There's many times they've been to the hospital before I get there to visit some of our sick. And they've developed relationships with our people in the life of the church, especially through life groups. And this type of ministry and taking care in a supernatural way. And this is actually the purpose, part of the purpose form. And we see this originally. This is the origination of the position of deacon. And next week we'll have a 4th of July message, but the week after we will look at deacons again in another way, in a deeper way. We see that deacons are to be full of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at the characteristics that they were chosen for, it says, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And when they were to look for him, they were to look for men of good reputation in verse 3, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom to put in charge of this task. So we see that they were to be Spirit-filled. Now, if you've got your Bible, you can hold your hand here. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we will see the delineation of the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see a command from God. It's an imperative tense in the Greek New Testament. When he talks about this, he tells us as believers, and do not be drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. First of all, we see this idea of these deacons and their relationship to alcoholic beverages. And you could say, well, it says they didn't get drunk, but they must have been drinking. Now, the whole issue when people bring up drinking in the New Testament, they'll use the wedding of Cana and Jesus turning the water into wine to say, if Jesus made wine, then it must be okay, you know, it must be good. And there are many believers, millions and millions, hundreds of millions, maybe all over the world, that love their wine and love their beer and love those things. Years ago, we had a man in the church who finally became United Methodist, and he said, I left Daryl in the Baptist church because he wouldn't drink beer with us. My pastor will drink beer with me now. Well, I developed a conviction as a teetotaler for a number of reasons. Now, when we get to the wedding of Cana, the idea is, what did Jesus create that day, and what were the apostles in the first century people drinking? They referred to wine. The Greek word oinos refers to everything from the grape. It refers to jelly, to jam. It refers to vinegar made from squeezing of grapes. It refers to actual wine that we think of as wine. And everything, oinos refer, and grape juice, like Welch's fresh squeezed, fresh grape juice, unfermented, right off the grape, squished with the feet. And so, at the wedding of Cana, and when they used the term wine or oinos, they would refer to good wine. And to them, because they had no refrigeration, everything moved towards spoiling as soon as it was made. It was either going to turn to alcoholic wine or to vinegar. And it was on the road to spoiling. That new was fresh and new was good. Jesus made what's referred to in the Greek New Testament, kalos oinos, good wine. And that was the thing. The wine tester for the wedding came and said, normally they do the good wine first and the bad later. You save the good wine, the kalos oinos, till the last. Now, there's another issue in relationship to wine. It can't ferment without yeast. My dad had a grapevine behind our house growing up, and some of my friends and I decided that we were going to make wine. So we got a bunch of the grapes, we squeezed them, we put them out in a jar, we put a little yeast in it, we put it in, buried in the ground in our tree house back in the woods for the summer. And we had to use pliers to get the lid off of it at the end of the summer, and it squirted all over us. And we made wine. My dad spanked me and tore down the grapevine. You know, you're not to be making wine, Daryl, you know, with your neighborhood friends and that type of thing. But the idea, even with yeast to the Jews was uncleanness. It was a sign of sin. Part of Passover is to cleanse the home of all yeast, to get it out of there. And the idea and we won't get into making a whole sermon about that, but the apostles did not drink what we think of as wine. If so, why did Timothy appeal to the Apostle Paul and said, can we drink wine? If they were all drinking wine their whole lives, it was a part of their diet, it was lunch, it was dinner, what we think of as wine, why did Timothy have to ask Paul if he could drink any of it? And then Paul's response was, Yes, you can a little bit for your stomach's sake. Now, I've drank wine since I've been a believer, and it's called NyQuil. And NyQuil, I think, is 30 proof. And I've drank that to dry my head up and to go to sleep and all that. But, I mean, it might as well be ouzo or some form of alcohol. It's strong stuff. But this is what they were talking about is medicinally. Now, we see that if you never drink, you'll say, well, I don't ever get drunk. If you never drink, you'll never get drunk. And then there's a testimony aspect to it. If you were to walk into Sonny's and I had a pitcher of beer in front of me, you would have a problem with it. Anybody that knows, you know, and you'd say, well, yeah, because you preached on it for 30 years. Well, no, any pastor in the area, you'd say, I saw him out there, they were turning them up. You know, I saw him with a bottle of wine. I saw him this, I saw him that. And there's a testimony aspect to it. Through the years, I've been able to lead people to Christ that recognize, some of them tried to get me to drink through the years, some businessmen. And I just said, no, you know I don't. And finally, I was able to lead them to Christ because of the testimony of it. So we see here that it talks about that aspect. And then secondly, they were worshipers in spirit and in truth. There's an aspect of church life where you can be serving a congregation and it can become mechanical, it can become mundane, it can become routine, and then you're no longer worshiping. I mean, I'm concerned about that for our life, people in the life of the church where they say, I've got all these things I'm doing them on Sunday or whatever, and then they start getting into a business mode. They start... And they're not worshiping. And when I'm preaching, they're not taking in the sermon because they're thinking about the mundane and the mechanical and the routine aspect of the ministry. Deacons, New Testament deacons, are to be worshipers, where they would worship God. They would be the first ones, if the Spirit of God's leading us to raise our hands, they might be some of the first to do that. And they're singing the choruses. They're singing the hymns. They're worshiping. They're not just enduring the sermon, enduring the message, and walking through it in a routine. And we see here that this was an aspect of them, that they were true worshipers and that they were worshiping God, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And we see that they were devoting themselves to prayer. They were men of prayer. They were prayer warriors, and they would intercede for people. In a biblical church, one of the first persons you should be wanting to approach to have a prayer for you would be a deacon or their wife, a deacon couple, and say, pray for me. Intercede for me. I know that you walk the walk, you talk the talk, and that there's this powerful aspect in your life. And we see that the scriptures talk about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And that means both things are to be there, the spiritual side of it. There's a lot of emphasis now across the nation in our churches on spirit, but to the dereliction of truth. And it has to be both. It has to be spirit and truth. It has to be scriptural. If it's not, then they can be wandering into questionable, shadowy areas. And then we see also that when we're filled with the Spirit, he says that we're to have an attitude of gratitude, being thankful for all things. Grateful, a grateful person. I'm grateful that God's given me the privilege to serve him, would be the attitude of a godly deacon. I'm grateful for the people of this church, and I love them. I'm grateful for my Lord Jesus, and I love and esteem and adore and promote him in everything I do. And he is number one. He is primary. A godly deacon, whether they're here, they're playing softball for the church team, playing golf, fishing. There's been men through the years in our church life that thought about being deacons, but when I've played golf with them, I've seen them throw their clubs down, get angry, cuss like a rattlesnake. And I said, nope, not a deacon. You know, it's got to be true blue. It doesn't mean perfect. There's no perfect people. But it does mean people that are living a testimony, that are walking the walk and talking the talk. And we see this attitude of gratitude in them. And then we see in Ephesians chapter 5 also that they're subject to one another in the fear of Christ. This is the attitude of willing to say, I'm humble and I'm willing to place myself, you know, under your subjection. The term for subjection or being subject to is hupotasso. And hupo is, again, a preposition to be under. Tasso is to stand. And it's to stand under. It's to undergird. It's to strengthen. And we see that with our bridges. They have those giant pillars. The strongest part of a bridge is the foundation work going down into the river, and then the pillars coming up to the bridge. All of it is to be strong, but if the foundation is not strong, it's standing under and holding up. In this room right now, we could tear this wall out, I believe. I think this is a drywall with aluminum studs, but you can't tear that wall out. That wall is poured concrete with steel in it, stressed concrete, and it's holding up tons of roof above us. And this is the idea of being subject to one another. It's, I'm going to stand under you, and I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to undergird you. And through the years, I've been grateful that with the deacon ministry, where deacons have said, Pastor, I've got your back. I'm with you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to strengthen you. And this is what we see with the Spirit-filled deacons. They're not, you know, abusing alcohol. They're spirit worshiping God in spirit and truth. They're men of prayer. They're filled with gratitude, and they're subject to one another. And then number five, deacons are to be full of wisdom to oversee ministry. We see this in the second half of verse 3. Select from among you, brethren, seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. And it's the idea that we're going to assign it to them, they're going to be responsible, and they're going to take care of it. They're going to do the job. They're going to be there, and we can count on them as they do it and as they represent. And then we see also the same thing in verse 1, where it talks about the needs that they had and the needs to have them. And it says the widows were being overlooked, and so they needed someone to look over the widows and to take care of them. Number 6, deacons are servants set apart by the public recognition of spiritual leaders. There's never been, in the 30 years I've been here, and I know in the almost 100 years of this church, there's never been a deacon that's been recognized in the life of the church that was not publicly set apart, where we've had an ordination service and where we've called forth those that are ordained among us, whether they're active or inactive, and they've come forward and they laid hands on them and they prayed for them and we've recognized them and set them apart to serve Christ in this setting. And there needs to be that public recognition of them. Yeah, that man's a deacon. That means something. That has a respect to it. It should, and they should be respectable. And we see this. And then if you look at the last verse in our passage today, in verse 7, the results are incredible when you have godly deacons. Now, my first church, I took a church that was a mission church, Gardens Baptist. And the first Sunday there, we had 12 there, 10 senior adults, the alcoholic sound man and his wife. And that was one of the pastor that recruited me to pastor that mission church said, Daryl, this is the crust or the rind of a church. It's not even really like a church anymore. And so we started there. I was there 7.5 years. We wound up running about 150 in worship. We planted 10 mission churches. We led our association in baptisms. The last year there, we had about 100 baptisms. And God just blessed. We started a Christian school, supernatural things. Well, when we were the first couple of years, and our numbers were not that strong and were not critical, I had a couple of the grandmas of the church, Myrtle and Mabel, they came to me for a serious grandmother-mother meeting. And they said, we need deacons. You know, we need deacons. We haven't had deacons for a few years, even a year or two before you came, Pastor. We've got to have deacons. And I said, well, I know the men who are here real well, and none of them qualify. And they said, God knows that. Just appoint them. You know, we need them. And I said, well, that's why it's called qualifications. They need to qualify, you know. And when God gives us some men that qualify, we'll ordain them. And sure enough, God did. And we added deacons and had deacons serving in the life of the church. And but they were so cute with it. You know, God knows we need these guys. Just put some of them, ask them to do it, you know, and that sort of thing. And I said, no, we can't do it that way. You know, we've got to wait till God gives us the right ones. And it's really true. Churches sometimes will appoint men as deacons because they're wealthy and big givers to the church, or they may be power brokers in the community, a politician, you know, a commissioner, a this, a that, or something else. And really, that's not the purpose of it. It's not to be the main cog at the synagogue. It's not to be a big wheel. It's to serve the Lord Jesus in a spirit-filled life and to serve his church. When I first came to the church, there was a mixture of godly people and some of these wheels that were running some things. And when I preached one of my first deacon messages, I put together this real large, beautiful glider that was made of balsa wood, one of those kits, a quality glider. And then I took some heavy boards, a 2x4, and I nailed a piece of a 2x6 across the top of it, and I nailed a tail on it, and the thing was like an anchor. And in my object lesson with the church, I said, here's these two planes. They both look like airplanes. But here's the thing. If we try to ordain men who don't qualify, who don't have the character, who are not what they should be, this is what's going to happen. I threw it. The thing went right to the ground with a giant clatter and banged into the ground. And I said, if we appoint men of character that love the Lord, that are spirit-filled prayer warriors, these qualifications, this is what will happen. And I threw the plane, sailed halfway across the sanctuary. And you know, I gave that object lesson. And then those who were big wheels and that, they left and said, if you don't agree with him, you're not going to be a plane in this church. Well, that wasn't it. You know, it wasn't that. It was the Spirit. The Spirit. And we've had people say, some of you have said in recent days that are newer, I love this church. It's a loving church. You know, I come here and people talk to me. They recognize me. They love me. As recently as yesterday at our work day, I had some new ladies talk to me and say, we feel so loved at this church, you know, and we've been other places. And so a lot of that has to do with the Spirit of it. And then we see, and the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. It's important that we be biblical. Through the years, I've seen people leave us and actually go into unbiblical circumstances and yet say, I know it was biblical there, and I've thought, well, then why? I've had people come to me that live in the community and say, Pastor Darrell, we talk about you all the time, some of your sermons and all that. And I said, hey, let me give you a revelation. I give them a big hug. I'm still here. I'm still there, you know. And the idea of serving Christ and being biblical about it. And, of course, it says in Scripture, in the last days, people will have itching ears where they will not endure the truth. And that's the case occasionally for some. And or it can be other issues. But we see here this idea that the Word of God increased and the power and the influence of Scriptures increased. And we see that because they were godly biblical deacons, and we're going to look at a couple of them that are highlighted and how supernatural they were in a couple of weeks, how God used them in an incredible way. And I've loved that. In fact, I've got a picture in my office of one of our Brazil mission trip, and it's me hugging two of our deacons when we were in Brazil. Each of them were assigned to these different areas of the capital in Brazil Brasilia, and they were conducting revivals and winning people to Christ. And I mean, they were biblical deacons. And it's, I look at that picture fondly often and think about that as they serve the Lord in another country on a mission trip. But we see that we have a privilege coming up. And so I'd like to ask you as the body to pray over your nominations. Ask the Lord to lead you and guide you. And you say, should I go talk to the person and ask them? You can, but you don't have to. I mean, we any submissions that are given to us, we will take it through and through the process and talk to them and interview them. And but you're to look for godly people that love the Lord, are committed to Him. And next Sunday we'll publish the current list of our deacons so you'll know who already are. But this is a great time in the life of the church as we consider and look to ordaining deacons, servants of the church, to serve Him in a supernatural way. I want to ask if you would to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. With your heads bowed and eyes closed today, I'd like to ask you, you know, are you prepared to serve Christ on your own? Are you a servant of Christ? Are you a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you given your heart and life to Him? Have you submitted to Him? Does He live in your heart? Does He live in your life? Does He control your life? And I'd like to invite you right now, if you're not sure of that, or maybe you know He doesn't, if you would, to just say, Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me, cleanse me, and take control of me. Lord, come to live in my life and help me be your servant. Help me to serve you in a supernatural way. Fill me with your Spirit. Forgive and cleanse all my sins. And thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and give you an opportunity to respond to God today as He's speaking to your heart. And maybe the Lord's calling you to be a part of this local New Testament church, and you say, well, Pastor, what do I have to do that? In your cell, there's that little tear out. We want to encourage you to tear that out and fill it out, and you could come forward at this time. And we would recognize you. And we've got the new member class tonight. Maybe you want to attend that first and check us out. We'd love for you to do that and become a part of this fellowship. Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart about baptism. Maybe you've recently given your heart and life to Christ. It is God's will for our baptism to follow our salvation. I've had people through the years say, well, I was baptized as an infant. Well, there's not an infant I know that's made a decision for Christ. In fact, they don't make decisions on what they eat, changing their diaper, anything else. And that is not a time that you're born again. Kim and I, when we were in the Amish country during our vacation, they literally left Europe because they were persecuted for baptizing only those who were born again, that had made decisions for Christ by immersion. And that is the biblical process, salvation and then baptism. And so if that is your case, we'd like to encourage you to respond to God as He speaks to your heart and follow Him in believer's baptism. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart. In a moment, I'm going to introduce to you Jim, Judy, and Jody Briggs. And they wrote two. They filled out their regular with all their information. And then they wrote in primary big letters for my eyesight based on last week. So have a point of business I'd like to share with you. I was approached recently by Andrew, and he shared with me some wonderful news for his family that I've asked him to come and share with y'all. Andrew, can you come and share with us?
Well, you know, this is never easy. I had an emotional drive this morning from Orlando, and listening to some of the worship songs that we did this morning that are really some heart songs of mine, especially in the last couple months. So just I'll give a brief history, and I promise Michelle I'd be brief because I can go on for a while.
You can.
She said, you should have written this down, and I'm like, no, I can't. So when I was an undergraduate doing my bachelor's in music, I had another polling toward business. And I actually wanted to minor in business. Long story, couldn't do that because it required too many classes, the music major. So I put that away, put that aside, really pursued music, did a bachelor's and master's in music, was focused on doing a career in music, in performing, especially in the opera world. Then I met Michelle and everything changed. We decided, you know, we wanted to have a family together, and it's really difficult to do that, as Nick knows, and do an opera career. You know, you're away a lot. So we transitioned more into education and all that, but I still always had a pulling toward business. My dad did a master's in business administration, so did my brother-in-law. It really just kind of excited me, when I heard what they were doing and with all that. And so when COVID hit, God kind of stirred some things up in my life and really called on me again to think about that business degree again. And so I was obedient, even though it kind of came out of nowhere. I applied to the University of Florida for their master's in business administration and was accepted. It was the only school I applied for. They accepted me. And so I started that in August of 2020. And so it's been almost a two-year process of doing a master's in business administration in the evenings, a lot of long evenings, till about 1 a.m., you know, staying up doing classes that I never thought I'd be doing with a couple of music degrees. But God really was pulling me in that direction. And sometimes, it's not the easy thing to do. It's like just the obedient thing to do, to listen to him, to where he's pulling you. And so last fall, I interviewed with a bank, Truist. I don't know if you guys are familiar. I'm sure you've seen the signs, the purple signs around town. BB&T and SunTrust merged, became Truist. And I was really, that company really rose to the top of my list as being the company that I wanted to go work for. They have great Christian leadership. Their CEO, who just retired a few months ago, speaking of deacons, is a deacon at his Baptist church, and posted, you know, about a month ago on LinkedIn, his top book is the Bible, and he explained why in a big, long Facebook post, which is kind of amazing for the CEO of the fifth largest bank in the world to do that, to be bold like that. And through the interview process, I met some other Christian guys that were also heavily involved in their Baptist churches, and their kids went to Christian schools and stuff. So it was just really like a God thing. And so in November, I accepted a role in their leadership development program, where they're going to train me in leadership skills, and I'm going to be able to dip my toes into a lot of different areas. And we'll see where God takes me from there. It's 11 months of that, and then we'll see the roles from there. But it's a huge blessing for our family. We've really been pulled toward Michelle wanting to stay home with the girls and raise them at home, which is what we both came from. Both our mothers did that. I was homeschooled. She wasn't, but she's been leaning in that direction of wanting to do that. So this has been a blessing that the Lord's put in our lives. It's always the toughest part about it is the people. You can't take the people with you. You know, the relationships that you built. And Michelle was even saying that last night to me over dinner. You know, she said, you know, you guys have gotten us through some tough situations. Your prayers, even with, you know, our children. There's been some anomalies with some of our children. The last one, it was a miracle that she's here, actually. The nurses said, there's two things that could have gone really wrong with this, but she's, you know, a blessing. God's got her here for a reason. So, and that's all thanks to you guys and the prayer that you've had in our lives. And so we're, you know, it's torn. You know, it's excited to go to the next thing, but, you know, I'm very sad to leave a lot of you guys. So,
and we love you and praise God for
love you.
So when do you start?
So July 12th, I start July 12th. I'm going to be working in downtown Charlotte, huge high rise.
And will there be any raise in it for you?
There is. Yeah. There's some,
80%.
Yeah. This is significant.
I said, I'll negotiate with you, but it can't be with Truist money. It can only be with First Baptist money. And he said, Pastor, this is really what we're called to do. So we're leaving the door open in the future for them, you know. You never know, you might say, I'd like to make a lot less money and worship Jesus, leading worship. But we want to be in prayer for them. We love them and thank God for them. And God in his sovereignty provides. And you've been so indispensable that we've lined up two people to replace you. That's how valuable
they're fantastic guys. And you guys are going to love those guys.
We've got two guys lined up. One to lead our choir and the kind of the more traditional side of our worship, and then another to lead the contemporary and the praise team. And we'll have them simultaneously. They'll be sometimes alternating and then sometimes together. And I'm not going to tell you who they are, but if you want to meet them, they're going to lead worship at our 4th of July picnic out at Reborn Farm. So you got to come choke down a hot dog, a hamburger, and then experience these guys. But I've loved Andrew, and just you've been a joy through the years. I've worked with a half a dozen different worship leaders, and you've really been an absolute blessing and a joy to work with. Plus, you're strong as an ox. He's helped us move, and Nick and others, and just so many things. You've stepped in. Our new website, Andrew designed that for us, and just you've been willing to take on. You've just got a sweet spirit, and love you and praise God for you. And I'm excited for you and your family, and we are too, aren't we? Amen. So after the service today, and then after the service next Sunday, after we have our 4th of July musical, if it's okay, we'll have Andrew available if you want to come by and bless him and give him encouragement and whatever the Lord lays on your heart.
Michelle and the girls will be here next week.
So. Next week for the musical and everything. Is she singing it?
She's going to sing it.
Okay, good. Good. So, God, we're just moving along and, you know, and God provides, and it's been neat that Andrew's been able to meet with the two guys that are going to be filling in and has actually already given them some training and some pointers and some orientation, so we're excited about that as well. So God's got some great things for them, and we want you to be a soul winner. Win everybody that comes in the bank to Christ.
Absolutely.
You've been practicing for 4.5 years. And every staff meeting, he has to give a report on witnessing. And so join that great CEO and win some people to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So love y'all. And why don't you dismiss us? Yes, come on down. Come on down. We want to encourage you to, with Jim, Judy, and Jody, they're coming forward this morning on their statement. And let's start with Jody. Jody, have you given your heart and life to Christ?
I'm Judy.
Oh, you're Judy. I'm sorry. I found
Jim.
A way to mess it up.
I'm Jim.
Thank you. Okay, Jody. You go first, Jody. Okay. Judy, go ahead.
What did you ask?
I ask you, what's your name and who's your daddy?
Yeah.
No. could you share with us, have you given your heart and life to Christ?
Yes, I have.
And followed the Lord in believer's baptism?
Yes.
Amen. Jim?
Yes, I believe in Christ and I've been baptized in the name of the Lord.
And did you also fix the pump over at the farm?
I fixed the pump.
Yeah. He's also got water running over there.
I got the toilets running too.
And the toilets running. So valuable, so valuable. And Jody,
yes.
Have you given your heart and life to Christ?
Yes, I have.
Follow the Lord in believer's baptism?
Yes, sir.
Her name's Kim, by the way. I know that over there. Okay. So,
at least you remembered one name.
One name at least. And I've got this big writing here. Yeah. So how many of you make a commitment to pray for this sweet family, for the Briggs? Would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
And want to encourage you to come by and express your love to them as you're making your way to Andrew. And praise the Lord for y'all. We're excited for you to be a part of our family. And already hitting the ground running, Jim, working hard out at our property. And with he's got a lot of technical skill, and we praise the Lord for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But he's getting old.
Is he getting old?
Yes.
Oh, my.
You're only as old as you feel.
Should we ask ages?
Sure.
No. Sure. Ask him. 82. 82. Okay. That's young. Amen. Well, let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you so much for the privilege to meet. And thank you for adding the Briggs family to our family. And thank you for Andrew and his years of service here. And bless him. Bless him with his new responsibility, his new career. And Lord, use him in a very powerful way and give him great influence. And again, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. I want to remind you about the new member class tonight, 5 o'clock.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab. It'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.